Let me just say this to you. You won't hear anything new today. You guys sit under great teaching here. Thank you so much, Craig and Susan and the whole team for having me. It's a real privilege to be here, and I'm excited. But I do have something to say to you. And some of the students here have been at camps and retreats where my wife and I have been preaching through the years. We started a ministry 20 years ago called Family Discipleship Ministries. And it's a network of like-minded ministers, and we do about 4 retreats a year. 2 of those retreats are for students, a winter retreat down in Covington, Georgia, and then a summer camp called Adrenaline, which is down in Daytona. And I've had the privilege to minister at those events a few times. And so it's a great, great privilege to be here. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Are you ready to go? All right. So if you're ready to go, I like to read the Word of God first. Oh, let me say one more thing about the ministry, and then we'll... I'm not a professional fundraiser. I hate this deal, okay? So let me just tell you this. If you'll go to my website and then click on... I don't know if it's working properly, the link, because my webmaster, she's in Haiti right now on a missions trip. But if you, there's an email address on the website, shoot me an email and say you'd like to be on my prayer group. That's mainly what I want from you all, okay? I want you to pray for me. I know that if you will pray for me and pray for Beth, where we're ministering around the world, that if God lays on you to do finances too, that's His business, okay? But the main thing I really need, I'm not one of those guys that's just saying that, is prayer. I need to know that when I stand up and minister the Word of the Lord, that I'm being covered and being interceded for. And one of the things that Craig and I were talking about, do they all call him Pastor Craig, Apostle Craig, just Craig? Good. Yeah. I'm totally down with that. Craig and I were talking about was one of the things that we discovered that these 8 years have been here for us in Northwest Georgia have been a revelation that we haven't had enough intercessors. And so I'm really asking you to pray for me. I'm very selfish. I get to go places that you don't get to go, and you get to go places I don't get to go. And sometimes the places that I get to go are not happy places. I do a lot of prison ministry. I do a lot of jail, ROIDC. I was preaching on the streets in Kansas City one day, and I remember the guy, I was just preaching. I walked over to a guy and said, "Can I pray for you?" He pulled a knife out and said, "No, but I'm going to kill you." I said, "All right." I said, "No, I don't think you are." And I'd like to tell you, if I was a real evangelist, I could tell you the story. I led him to Christ. I didn't. It didn't end well, but I walked away and I'm still alive. So amen. But I would love an anointing, you know, so that story might end differently and the guy get born again. OK, so if you'll just pray for us. But it's a complicated Gmail email address, but you can pick it up off the bottom of the website. It's real easy to get to. And listen, if you're a student in here, 10, 11, 12, all the way to 25 or whatever, I want you to pray for me. I might be an old guy, but I still get to talk to a lot of you, okay? And so you guys know that I think like you, which is a scary thing for a 54-year-old guy to think like a 13-year-old boy most days. But I need your help. I need you to pray for me that I would have a word in season that you would still want to hear from me. And that I would get to do that. I get to speak at a lot of Christian schools and those kind of things, homeschool groups, sports teams. I sold athletics for a living before I became a pastor. So I get to do a lot of FCA type events and sports events. And so it's a real privilege to get to do these things. But honestly, I do. Can I say it one more time on Mother's Day? I need you to pray for me. Okay? Well, I'm really, really old school. And so I like to stand when we read the Bible. Can we stand for just a second? If you can. If you can't, then you can stay seated. I know you guys are comfortable holding up the back wall back there. But on Mother's Day, I really want to give you a gift. I want to give everyone in here a gift today. And my gift to you is how to make your troubles work for you. How to make your problems work for you. And so let me read the word of the Lord to you. We'll pray and then you can be seated. My brethren, I'm in charge of this. I keep forgetting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now hold your Bible or your phone or tablet, whatever you're using, and let's just pray together. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord. God, on this beautiful morning, we have been surrounded by your praises. We've been surrounded by your goodness. And we believe that you want to speak to us. You're always speaking. God, now give us ears to hear what you're saying. That we would get a better mindset about the trials, the problems, and the troubles of our life. That the very thing that the enemy thinks is trying to break us, you're using to make us. And we need your mindset for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There is a in vogue teaching in the body of Christ right now that's a good thing. It's the heaven on earth reality. How many of you have heard that? You've seen that on a t-shirt. I've got a t-shirt that says on earth as it is in heaven. And I hear ministries all over the place. I hear non-spirit-filled ministries throwing that phrase around. And it's kind of amazing to me because I don't think they know what that means. Now listen, if you're a younger guy and you're a girl in here, I want you to not phase out for a second because I'm going to give a little old guy talk. Just briefly for one second, is this. Some of you remember when we came into the kingdom in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of heaven talk back then. But it wasn't heaven on earth. It was when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And I believe that. But remember when the Word of Faith movement got really strong and practical Christianity, we began, and really I think a lot of it was tied directly to the prosperity of the 80s. We got in our minds that we were to overcome and take dominion here on earth, which is true, right? We are. And now I hear a lot of the heaven talk coming back again, and I think that there is a generational miss on it. And here's what I think the miss is. I think when I hear people, especially non-spirit-filled people, talking about the heaven on earth reality, I think they've moved back to escapism. I think when they say, I want earth to be like heaven, I want on earth as it is in heaven, they're saying, I don't want any more troubles. I don't want any more problems. I don't want any sickness in my body. I want this kind of dreamlike life that I'm beyond bulletproof. Now watch, because you've got to get this, because I think in the next 5 years, 10 years, we're going to see a lot of people that are disappointed because they were believing for the heaven on earth mindset, and they didn't understand that heaven on earth is a promise. We're going to have it. We're going to have it in increasing levels. But to get to there, you've got to go through a problem. When I was a young leader, and I've been a leader all my life, I was an Eagle Scout when I was 13 years old. I was leading in my troop, and I had multiple businesses when I was in high school. I ran my first brick-and-mortar business when I was 17 years old, okay? I didn't understand this principle, and so for the first years of my business, I stayed on Maalox all the time and problems because anytime a problem would come near me, rather than knowing that my problem was my pathway to promotion, I would shrink back from my problems and think I had done something wrong. But you've got to understand this. Now watch me. Listen, especially if you're young. The kingdom of God that we live in is an upside-down kingdom. To receive, you have to give. To capture your life, you've got to give it away. To go up, you've got to go down. To be first, you've got to be last. And watch this now. To live in the victory of heaven, you've got to go through the warfare of earth. To possess your promises, you have to walk through what sometimes seems the opposite of your promise to get there. How many know children are a great joy? Yeah, all the men said that because we didn't go through childbirth. You understand that, right? To get to 19, 20, 50 years of joy with your children, you have to go through the woman, especially 9 months of hell. Swollen feet. The waddling, feeling like you're going to drop any minute. You know what I'm talking about. The swelling, the pain, sciatica down your leg. Am I bearing witness with any of the ladies in here? Now watch, I want you to get this, guys. I want you to get this, ladies, because I want you to possess the promises over your life. And I think there are a lot of Christians who have shrank back from their promises because they didn't realize they had to go through a problem to get to the other side. And see, James understands something, and I don't think most of us understand this. I think we read it and we go, yeah, right, Jimmy. That's easy for you to say. You're Jesus' half-brother. But I want you to understand something. In the last 3 years, I've understood and I'm understanding more every day how to walk out this principle of calling my problems a joy. And I want you to get this down in you because it's the pathway to your promotion. It's the pathway to your success. It's the pathway to you accomplishing the vision for your life. Proverbs 13:12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You all have heard that, right? But it's more than just disappointment. There's a lot of people that are heart sick because they've not laid hold to the tree of life, the vision for them that's the tree of life, because they've given up on the way to it. Because they've faced giants in the land. You understand that there were 12 spies that were sent into Canaan land, right? 10 of them saw the problems, 2 of them saw the victory. Hello? Are y'all ready to learn now? All that was just way of introduction. Because James, the book of James, is calling us to a higher level of maturity. Now listen, maturity has nothing to do with age. How many know that? How many know that you're around old people who have no victory, no joy, and no strength? I have been known to say that they don't have maturity, they have manurity. Amen. And listen, you've heard this before. You've heard this before. Experience is the best teacher. Experience is not the best teacher. Reflection on your experience is the best teacher. And holding the right mindset into your experience is the best teacher. Because I know a lot of people, they go through the same stupid trial over and over again because they haven't learned yet. Amen. And see, that's not going to be you after today. After today, never again are you going to look at your problems the same way. Because I want you to understand something. What the enemy is using to try and break you, God's going to use to make you. And see, this isn't a defeatist mindset. I hear Christians sometimes, if they don't understand something, they just throw it into this big, huge pool called the sovereignty of God. And they accuse our Father of child abuse. How many of you know I would never do to my kids what a lot of Christians accuse God of doing? But I am saying this, God wins with every hand He's dealt. And if the enemy brings a trial against you, God will take it, twist it, and shape it, and use it to promote you. And you've got to get this now. About 3 years ago, and again, I've been doing this for a long time. And it probably was the wrong mindset when I started doing it because I thought if I was going to be a real Christian, that real Christianity was to be a full-time pastor. How many know that everybody in this room is called to be a full-time Christian? Yeah. Coming to Jesus is going to cost you everything. It's not 1 hour a week. It's every day of your life. Let me say this about you. Just because there's not 10,000 people here doesn't mean this isn't the real thing. I want you to get this now because you need to be inviting people you know to come experience this. You say, oh, I don't know. My coworkers might not like it because Pastor Craig speaks in tongues. Listen. Your coworkers need to know that this is real. And this is the real deal. Do you either believe this is real or not? Come on now. Am I in the right room? I want you to get this down in you because it's very important. This city needs what you all carry. But they have to understand, and you have to keep this on the inside. You can't go around announcing this. It's cost you all a price to get to this point. But because if you believe that the price was worth paying, then you invite other people into this now. I'm going to tell you, there was such a significant anointing being released just off the instruments, not including the voices this morning, but just off the instruments. People need this. And you need to be bolder about telling people. Don't poke your head down. Oh, we got a relationship. There's 50 of us. Listen, you've got to be bold about what God's doing here. This is the real deal. Right? What if I halfway introduce people to Beth? And she's not here today. I should go back to slide one so you can see how pretty she is. Look, what if I said to people, well, she's okay. We go there a few Sundays a month. I don't understand her. Well, my parents make me go. Listen. You got to get this now. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me. You know somebody's old when they start calling you young people. Listen to me, friends. Your parents might be the pathway that you were invited here, but you should count this a treasure. Because you will never be happy for religion after growing up in this. And all of us who've come out of religion, tell them how blessed they are. Because a religion is a deadly poison, and you get used to it. You don't even realize it's circled around you till you're drowning in it. And so I'm way off my text. Where are we going to eat today? All right. Are we okay? Like I said, about 3 years ago, listen to this now, Craig never struggles with this, but Eddie was a joyless pastor. I was doing my duty, but the pain of leading a flock of sheep was about to eat me alive. And I woke up one day and I read Romans 14:17 that says the kingdom of God is not food or drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I said, I cannot expect these people to move forward in righteousness, joy, and peace if I don't. And so I made my mind up. I was done with joyless Christianity. But how many know, and watch this now, I didn't realize by making that declaration that I was going to have to look at the problems of my life in a different way. And I want you to learn how to walk in exceeding joy. I mean contagious joy. That's why I said that whole bit just then about relationship church. Because if you begin to walk in joy, people are going to ask you if they can go to church with you. And you got to get it down in you that this is the deal. You know, somebody goes, I don't get all that. Why do they do the flags? Why do they get them? Say, look, read your Bible. What we do looks more like heaven than what you do. You might better ask the Lord before you start saying those things. But it's the truth, isn't it? I mean, a lot of times we let the religious people tell us what they do is normal and what we do biblical is not normal. I'll take Bible over normal every day of the week. Amen. Sorry I'm loud. My mother made me this way. Love you, Mom. All right. So let's look at problems. Let's wrap our head around. Let's get a better look at problems so that we can win through them and not just try to always avoid them. Some of you are avoiding the greatest moments of your life because your breakthrough is on the other side of your problem. That's good preaching, Eddie. Thank you. All right, number one, you ready? Number one, problems are promised. Man, I'm going to need all kind of help with this. Your problems are promised. Now, you're not going to find this at the Christian bookstore, okay? You can't go order a little plaque from Amazon that says this. I don't see Christians wearing this on their T-shirts. But one of the strongest promises that Jesus ever gave us was John 16:33. John 16:33 says this. Come on, where are you? I have told you this. Look at this. I love this in New Living. I've told you this so that you may have peace in me. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. I've told you this so that you'll have peace. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Now get this. This verse is just as true as John 3:16. We all love John 3:16. We don't love John 16:33 because we don't know our Father. If He said, I'm giving you problems, I'm going to allow you in this world, there will be problems. It's because they're for our good. Just let that rest on you. It's for your good. All right, parents in the room, have you ever tried to get your kids to eat something that wasn't good for them? I love greens now. I just love them. I mean, like, to me, it's the best deal if I go to somewhere like Oakwood and they have greens on, you know, on the menu. I'm like, yes, greens. And I think back of all those years that my mom would push them across the table like, I don't want that. Hey, listen, quit being a whiny baby about the problems in your life. It's a promise from Jesus. If you will go ahead and begin to change your mindset about it, that it's a promise from Him. Look what it says. Brethren, count it all joy. Win. Do you see that? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into trouble. Not if, when. See, again, there's a problem. The gospel that's being preached in most places in America is not the gospel of the kingdom. It's a benefit-based, humanistic gospel that says, come to Jesus, He'll make your life better. Jesus will make your life better, but He's going to change you in the process. How many know that the world does not need a souped-up version of Eddie Taylor? It needs a crucified version of Eddie Taylor. The world doesn't need a better version of you. It needs a dead and resurrected version of you. So problems are promised. I promise you, I'm not going to keep here all day. Number two, you ready? Number two. Problems are promised. Number two, problems are part of the process. Problems are part of the process. You see, we love promises, but we don't like the promise to get the payoff. How many know that one of the greatest marketing campaigns ever in the 50s, 60s, and 70s was the Charles Atlas guy kicking sand in the face of the weenie in the back of comic books and Time magazine? And did anybody else see those besides me? You know what was the greatest marketing campaign ever? Because people saw the picture of the tough guy and wanted to buy the program because they knew that they would end up looking like Charles Atlas. But what they didn't want to do was work out. Hey, y'all look at me. Look. Number one yard sale item in America. Anybody knows what it is? What's the number one yard sale item? Exercise equipment. Because in November and December, when we're looking for Christmas gifts, we all get sucked in by Bowflex. Because we think that if we buy it, that's the same thing as using it. Now listen, I want you to get this now. Because some people have flaked out of the prophetic movement because they got a promise. And the promise was to prepare them to walk through the process to live out the promise. I love you so much. But you get inspired on Sunday, but you don't know what to do when hell breaks loose on Monday. What I'm here to help you do is to hold on and to enjoy and reframe Monday, because reframing Monday will help you obtain what you were promised on Sunday. Problems are part of the process. We Americans love weddings, but we hate marriage. Now think about it. It's how you get bridezillas, right? Are y'all with me? I want you to get that now, because you've got to wrap your head around this, because you're laughing at them because you've seen Bridezilla, but them is you. And they are me. Because what we do is we want the ceremony, but we don't want the sacrifice. That's why 60% of those end in divorce. Come on, y'all. And I'm not beating you up if you've gone through the pain of divorce. I'm telling you, it's a systemic problem. It's not a you problem. And I want to help you with that today. I want you to understand that the only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary. And going through problems and trials will shape you. That's why you have boot camp, isn't that right, soldier? You don't train for battle in the middle of war. You train for battle in good days. And that's what I want you to get, is the promise that God gives you is to inspire you to hold on, because there are difficult days. Difficult days are coming. There will be many in those days, Jesus said, that are not lovers of God. They're lovers of evil. Their hearts have grown cold. And I'm not talking about in the great tribulation. I'm talking about on Cleveland Highway. I'm talking about tomorrow. You don't get David without Goliath. The entire Israeli army is shrinking back in the presence of Goliath. He's taunting them. I'm going to feed you to the birds. But one guy that realized the problem was the pathway of the process to promotion runs towards him. One guy runs towards him because he had already confronted two earlier problems in his life. He confronted the lion, he confronted the bear, and he said, you're going to be just like them. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who is defying the armies of God? Look at me. Some of you in this room right now are struggling with financial trouble. Hang on. Give. Be obedient. Be joyful. Watch your finances. Spend less than you make and watch for the supernatural to break through. That's the only pathway. How many of you have heard of the transfer of wealth? Let me tell you how the transfer of wealth is going to happen, is when unsaved people get born again and they start sowing. God's not going to magically put money in your bank account. That's crazy. That's Christian television talk. Our God's not a thief. He's not Robin Hood. He's not going to steal from the rich and give to you. He's going to give your hands power to gain wealth. But the power to gain wealth is when you go through problems and you learn how to manage the wealth that you obtain after you come out the problem. This is good preaching. Listen, you've got to get this. How many know the Josephs in this room? How many in this room are dreamers? The Bible is so strange in the book of Genesis. It's about Genesis 35 and following. Watch it. Every time it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, all hell breaks loose in his life. And the Lord was with Joseph, and his brothers abducted him, took his garment, and put him in a pit. See, listen, you want to know what a 21st century American Christian does when that happens? We fold our arms and find a new church, and we quit going to our old church because we got something wrong with those people. And the Lord was with Joseph, and out of the pit he was sold to Ishmaelite traders that took him to Egypt. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was sold to Potiphar. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was falsely accused. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was thrown in prison. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was overlooked. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he became the second most powerful person in the world. But see, but the pit and the prison and the possibilities came forth in him because he didn't shrink back from the trouble. He knew the trouble wasn't going to break him. The trouble was going to make him. What you go through makes you. Listen. Quit looking for your spouse to become Prince Charming or Sleeping Beauty and you become Prince Charming. Amen. That was for somebody. Hebrews 10:35 and following. I don't have it up there, so I don't have to wrestle with it. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Ready? Hebrews 10:35 and following. Write this in your notes, note takers. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Everybody say endurance. So that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, he who's coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Does anybody know what the most repeated verse from the Old Testament is? I just read it. The just shall live by faith. And so it's going through the trials. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Listen, to the degree the problem you solve is the degree of the anointing you're going to carry. Some of you have said no to the anointing because you've shrank back from the problems of your life. You'll never, listen. You will never carry a kingly Davidic anointing as long as you shrink back from the fights of your life. Some people have forfeited the anointing because they're shrinking back from their problems. Some of you are shrinking from your financial blessing because you shrank back from your problems. Let me unpack that for you. To the degree of problems you solve is the degree of financial compensation you'll receive in your life. There's a reason why brain surgeons make more than clerks at Walmart. If you're a clerk at Walmart, I'm not knocking you. But I'm telling you, how many know putting the Prel shampoo on the shelf doesn't isn't the same kind of problem it is to someone who cuts a skull open and fixes a brain? And the problem is we have got such a culture of comfort in America that we shrink back from our problems rather than pressing in through them. And we call our Father not a good God rather than believing and receiving what He's done in us. Amen? Let me say one more thing about this. Romans 8, 28 and 29. I have it down in my notes, but I think I want to say it now. All right, you got your Bibles? Romans 8, 28 and 29. Because I believe this is one of the ways that a religious spirit has robbed us from the truth of the Word of God. Romans 8, 28, you know this verse, right? And we know that all things work together for what? For good, for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, does your Bible say that we know that God causes bad things in your life? No, that's not what it says. But it says God will take and recycle and use and redeem whatever has come into your life and He'll turn it for your good. Now look at verse 29. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Jesus might be the firstborn of many brethren. Now watch. Hey, thank you. I need your help back there. Now watch. I want you to get this. You ready? Ready? Watch this. Stupid theological arguments have circled around the word predestined there, and people have missed the whole object of this verse. People think this is a Calvin Wesley argument. That's not what this verse is about. This verse says it's promised. If you come into the kingdom of God, you're going to end up like your older brother Jesus. How many know so that when you go in a trial, Jesus is with it, with you in the trial, and He's conforming you to make you like Him. Come on, you know the story. Three Hebrew boys, right? Hananiah, Shariel, Azrael. I'm not going to give you their Arabic names. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They went in the fiery furnace, but the fiery furnace didn't melt them because Jesus was with them in the fire. Because problems are part of the process. But the process is to conform you to the person of Jesus. So we should rejoice and count it all joy when we're going in trials. Because in the trial, you're becoming more like Him. If you see it that way, then you'll receive the anointing and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to joyfully walk through the trial. I was forfeiting the blessing of my life by being an unjoyful, ungrateful, unhappy Christian and in charge of other unhealthy, unthankful, ungrateful Christians. But listen, if you will turn it around, if you begin to look at your problems like opportunities in the process for your promotion, it's going to change you. It's going to change you. Here's why. Number three, you ready? Number three, am I back in charge? Number three, problems produce. Your problems produce something in you. Your problems will produce something in you. Look what verse 3 says. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know what we need to do? If we know that problems are coming, if we know that problems are part of the process, and we know that problems produce, then problems become your partner. Rather than being an obstacle, they become your partner. In other words, because your senior partner, the Holy Ghost, in the power of Jesus from God the Father Almighty, living in us and through us, is producing a heavier weight of glory. He's producing character in us, and He's producing the character to carry us to the next level of gifting that we have. You know, how many of you have seen people in the body of Christ that they're really gifted, but they don't have the character to match their gifting? That's because somehow they've short-circuited the process of walking through their problems to have the kind of character to carry the gifting of their life. And I don't want to be that guy, and I don't want you to be that guy. Some of you, really a lot of the young guys in this room, you said that right. They're uber gifted. Military, arts, other ways, bass, guitar, drums. Oh my goodness. And I want you guys to get this. God wants to develop the kind of character in you that will carry you, that allow you to use those giftings for His glory and for your good. It's for your good. Everybody say, my good. What are three things that problems produce? You ready? Number one, problems purify your faith. Problems will purify your faith. It says here, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith. Hey, how many know that a tea bag is of absolutely no good for you until you put it in some hot water? A coffee bean is no good to anybody unless it's ground up and then had hot water running all through it. Once you get something, a little hot water in your life is going to reveal who you really are. It's going to reveal who you really are. It's going to reveal what God's really doing in you. Number two, problems not only purify our faith, but the second thing that problems produce is they produce patience. Verse 3, faith produces patience. Now, maybe you've said this before. Maybe you've heard somebody say this. Brother Eddie, I don't ever pray for patience. Hey, look at me. You don't have to pray for patience. Problems are coming. It's a promise. So you better pray for patience. Because, again, we need to understand the word patience better. It's patience is more than just, I'm going to sit here and abide. Here's what patience is. Patience is the Greek word hupomone. Everybody say hupomone. Give you a little Greek lesson. Hupomone. Doesn't that sound good? It's a compound word. It means hupo, under, and meno, to abide. It means to abide under. If you abide in me, John 15, and my words abide in you, you will do what? Bear much fruit. Problems produce in you because God works in you the patience to live out the harvest that He's bringing through you. To live out, to stand under it. He's got you. This is the upgrade. It's the characteristics of a man or woman who were unswerved from their deliberate purpose and loyalty to their faith. God's got you. You've got to get this down in you. He's got you. He's going to carry you. He knows what it's like. This is one of the great keys of the incarnation, that Jesus became one of us so that He understands what we go through, so that He can walk with us through it and then bring the great harvest of faith and reward to us through it. Problems produce character, problems build patience, and problems develop our character. Verse 4a, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. know what the word is there? The Greek word is teleos. Teleos. It's like where we get the word telescope. It's brought to its end. It is finished. It's very similar to the word, a derivative of the word that Jesus used on the cross when he said, "It is finished." Is that he's going to finish the work he started in you. Don't shrink back from it. Can I say this? Sometimes when we say no and we pout and we fuss and we shrink back to the problems we're facing today, because love, God loves us, he wants to give us the upgrade, we get to face the problem again. Because we're slow and we're humans, let me say it this way. It would be like this. It would be if I said to my son Jonathan, who's 20, or soon be 20 next week, 20 years old, if I said to him, "Son, I'm going to give you $1,000. But he doesn't know that the $1,000 I'm going to give him is tied up to the fact that he needs to vacuum his bedroom. How many know then when Beth or I mentioned vacuum your bedroom, it's like, I don't have time. I'm here at the Lobster. I'm important. I'm a youth worker. I'm important. I don't have time to vacuum my bedroom. God, would you please provide?" Are we all in the same place? Do you know what I'm saying here? The reward for obedience is the promise that he was given. Some of you are shrinking back from your reward because you think it's menial. But he says, if you've been faithful with little things, I'll do what? I'll make you ruler over much. It's the question of stewardship. Problems are a way that proves that you've got the faith and the character to walk out the stewardship of the gifts and the breakthrough that he wants to give you. Trust the process. Everybody say, trust the process. Trust the process. And know this, everybody can't go with you. Sometimes elevation causes separation. Sometimes elevation takes separation. How many know there are some people that they're going to be whiny babies, they're going to pull back every time something hard happens? But that's not you. Say, that's not me. That we're going to run into our problems. I believe this. How many are around people that are drama kings and drama queens? Titus says that they were busybodies, busying themselves with other people's problems. You know why? Because there's no emotional or life commitment in someone else's problems. That's why they would rather gossip about other people's problems than face their problems head on. And there's no anointing for gossip. There's no anointing for busybodies. And there's no anointing for manipulators. But there is a kingly anointing for you to walk through the problems of your life, but not someone else's problems. Amen. All right, how do you handle your problems? You ready? This is the sweet spot now. Let me just go to the sweet spot. I've kept you too long. Number one, reframe them. Reframe them. I'm telling you, when you get an unexpected bill, when you get a phone call that's the unexpected phone call, when you get a moment of pain, when your spouse says to you, "We've got to do something about our marriage," when your kids are freaking out, when something like that's happening, watch. Don't let it get on top of you. Reframe it for your good. That's why James says in verse 2, consider it all joy. Consider there is an accounting term. You know, the old translations used to say, reckon it. It means that you might look at it as a liability, but call it an asset from this moment forward. Don't look at it as the end of you. Look at it as the beginning of the new you. Reframe the moment. Look, where you start determines where you're going to end with a problem. If you look at it and believe, oh boy, that's why he says count it all joy. Yahoo! This is a difficult day, but if I learn how to overcome by the grace of God, by the word of the Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the prophetic word, that's why Paul tells Timothy to fight the fight of faith with the prophetic words he's received. It's because he knows on the other side of the battle is the completion of that prophetic word. But if you shrink back, if you don't reframe that problem, reframe that trial, reframe that tribulation that God's going to use it to make you, then you're going to shrink back and you won't have the anointing or the breakthrough. It depends how you reframe it, depends where you start. Watch. Look. If you look at God as a good father, he's using this moment to bless you. Whatever the enemy or your in-laws or your boss or anyone else throws at you, God's using it to make you, to shape you, to make you stronger, then you're going to get the value from it. Look, but if you look at God as an angry judge or as a cruel teacher, then you think God did this to me. None of you would say that because you're all spiritual and godly. But I've had people sit in my office, people I've sat across the table from having a coffee, ask me, Eddie, why is God doing this to me? See, they will never, ever, 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 ever get the value of that problem because they're blaming their very source of help. And I want you to reframe your problems. That if God, through His grace, has allowed that thing to slip through His sovereignty, that means that there's power on the other side to walk you through it every single time. That's why Paul could sing praises in the middle of the Philippian jail in the middle of the night. He didn't know the end of the story. He didn't know that he was going to break through, that the walls were going to come, doors were going to come open, and he was going to walk out. But he knew that if he found himself there doing the will of God, it was going to be for his good and God's glory. Watch, that's why he can say in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. Because he knew that whatever he walked through in the power of God was going to be promotion. You've got to see it that way. Number two, you ready? Number one is reframe it. Number two, rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Him. That's why he says, I'm going to give you some verses that we know, but I never knew why we needed them before, but now I know why we need them. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, hey, listen, it's not because you have mental problems. It's because God wants you to understand that your attitude sets your altitude. And go ahead and reframe the problem and let Him move you through it with joy and victory. Let Him help you milk the problem and cause it to turn for your good. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on, y'all. His praise shall do what? Continually be in my mouth. That psalm we sang this morning, Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You understand that the manufacturer doesn't make any defects in us. That when He allows us to go through processes that are painful, that are out of our control, that are many times from the hand of our enemy or the hand of our enemies in the natural, that God will turn it for your good if you reframe it, if you rejoice all the way through it. Number three, you ready? Number three, request. Ask. Ask Him. That's why it says in James 1:5. Look what He says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Now, if I was to ask you what wisdom is, here's what most Americans think wisdom is. We think that wisdom is the accumulation of facts. No. Listen to this. I want you to get this now. Here's what wisdom is. The Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah. Everybody say chokmah. Now you're speaking some Klingon, right? Chokmah. Here's what chokmah is. Chokmah is first used in Exodus 31:3, and it's the description of Bezalel, the God that directed, drew up, and made the tabernacle. It's about the art of living well. Biblical wisdom is the art of living well. So you ask God in the middle of the trials the two questions that are asked on the day of Pentecost. What meaneth this, and what shall I do? Those are still two good questions. Acts chapter 2, look them up. What does this mean and what do I do? See, wisdom, God will release wisdom in you if you have faith. But He says, watch, don't be double-minded. All right, you ready? Oh, you mean to tell you, I'm going to give you an easy way for you to know if you're double-minded. Because no Christian admits they're double-minded. Craig, you've never had somebody come in and call you and go, hey, I'm double-minded. Watch. Here's how you know if you're double-minded. You ready? Here's how I knew I was double-minded. I worried all the time. The old English word that we get, the English word worry, literally means to divide the mind. Because worrying is believing for a future without God in it. And see, if you reframe it, if you ask God to give you wisdom, He says He will. He's going to help you skillfully navigate the rough waters of your life. I took a youth group whitewater rafting one time. Any of you ever been whitewater rafting? It was right up here at the Ocoee. Hey, that's pretty cool. It was, magic trick, too. There you go. All right. It was right up there on the Ocoee River. And I remember we jumped in the boat, and there was 8 of us or 10 of us in the boat. I can't remember. And the guide got in. Here's what the guide said. The guide said, there's two ways we can go down the Ocoee River. Heroes or chickens. Hey, look at me, friends. There's two ways you can go through life. Heroes or chickens. Ask God for wisdom. He wants to help you skillfully navigate your life, just like that cat in the back of the boat could skillfully navigate the Ocoee River. You can do it because He's inside of you. Listen, we love this verse. We don't know what it means. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. How many know if that only means that I'm believing for heaven when I die, you've missed the verse. Christ in you, the expectation of a good end, which will produce glory in the earth. His radiant presence and fullness and glory in you and glory through you and glory on you. Philippians 4:6, just reinforce what I said about worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, let your what? Requests be made known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You ready? The modern translations, New Living, Living Bible, some of those say this: worry about nothing, pray about everything. I'm telling you, listen. There is a release of wisdom for you. There's a release of wisdom for me that will produce joy in our life when we're going through trials. If we will reframe the trial that it's for my good. Everybody say, for my good. Man, you've got to get that down in you. Because if not, you'll shrink back. And then the last thing is this. You ready? Last thing. Rest in faith. After you've done all, therefore, to stand, do what? Stand. Stand in the finished work. Stand in what God has done. Listen to what He says in James, verses 6 through 8. I think it's the next verse. Yeah. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, tossed, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is, there you go, double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. Faith is not this magical force in the universe that somehow we lay hold of. Faith is an absolute trust and belief in the goodness of your God. And that, again, if somehow the enemy's plan or the attack of the enemy or people that don't like me or we live in a fallen world and sickness somehow gets through, if any of those things get through to you, then you've got to believe that God is going to use it to shape you. And then we stand, we resist, we submit ourselves, therefore, to God, we resist the devil, and he must. And then we wait. See, waiting in the Lord is not doing nothing. You understand that, right? How many of you in this room have ever worked at a restaurant as a server or a waiter? See, a waiter is attentive to the person they're serving. See, and so those who wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40:31, to get the new strength, is we're attentive to Him. We want to make sure that His cup is full. Come on, y'all. We want to make sure that we're beholding Him and that we understand that what we're going through is going to shape us. It's going to change us. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. He says to them, "Why are you breaking my heart like this? I told you these things were coming for me, but they're coming for my good and for your good." Rejoice. We rest in Him. We rest in Him. We rest in Him. We wait on Him, being confident of this, Philippians 1:6, that He that began a good work in us is what? Come on, y'all, say it with me. Faithful to complete it. Well, how does He faithful to complete it? By us partnering with Him and allowing the troubles and the tribulations of our life not to press us down, but to cause us to overcome. That's who you are. That's who you are today. You're an overcomer if you want to be or not. And I'm just determined. I want you to be determined. I'm not going to wait for heaven to overcome. I'm going to learn how to overcome here on earth. And that's what I mean when I pray, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus meant. Now let me close with this. He would be cruel, wouldn't He, if He wouldn't have gone first? I have a new definition for love. You know what I believe love is? I believe love goes first. I just believe love goes first. Hey, listen to me, young people. You're going out with a girl, you're going out with a guy, and they demand you, they say to you, if you love me, you would. That's not love. That's lust, that's manipulation, because love goes first. Love goes first. And Jesus went first for us. He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Look what this verse says. Looking unto Jesus, the architect or the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy set before Him. He endured the cross. Jesus didn't shrink back from the cross. He didn't shrink back from the trouble. He didn't shrink back from the trial. And we don't have to either, because He understood that the cross was the pathway. The Moravian said it, may the Lamb receive the reward of His suffering. That's who we are. That's who you are, RC. Do you believe that? That we're in the bloodline of the Moravians. We're in the bloodline of the Son of God, of Jesus who went first. He's not asking us to do anything He didn't do. Now listen to me, number two, you ready? And He is inside of you. Man, the next time, listen, oh, this is so good. The next time you face a trial, know that the little boy that ran at the giant, He's inside of you. The two spies who didn't give up, He's inside of you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He's inside of you. That He faced everything hell could throw at Him, even death, and it didn't defeat Him, and it won't defeat you. The problems that the enemy throws at you, the problems that this world throws at you, the problems of life, they're only going to serve for your promotion. Amen? Let's stand up all over the room. I don't know how you guys close. Can I pray for you? Now set your mind right now, regardless of all my ramblings, that tomorrow if you're confronted with something, you're not going to shrink back. You're going to go over. Because His grace is on you. Because His grace is on you. Say, His grace is on me. Man, His grace is inside of you. Zechariah 4:6, you all know Zechariah 4:6. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. But nobody knows verse 7. Verse 7 says, see that mountain ahead of you? Shout grace to it. So I just shout grace at you right now. I shout grace at the problems that are in front of you. I shout grace. Some of you in the middle of a problem right now, I shout grace to it. I shout grace to you. You can overcome. You can overcome. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't shrink back. Don't give up. I pray that the spirit of Aaron and Hur would come up around you right now in the King, and that He would lift your hands, that you would be a people that know how to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We don't rejoice because of the problem, but we rejoice because we know that the problem is a promotion. We know the problem is conforming and helping produce the real me, the real you. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I lift up my friends here at RC. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to come and stand for You and as You, as Your representative, to proclaim Your truth. God, I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl that's heard this live today and that will hear the recording, God, will be so fixed on Your goodness, so fixed on Your love, that they will see obstacles as opportunities. They'll see roadblocks as opportunities to have You to redirect, to change them as they reframe their problems in light of Your goodness, that You're going to cause a breakthrough in their lives. And I believe it. I thank You for the overcomers in this room right now. I thank You, God, that You're doing it, that You started this, and You're going to finish it. Just while we're praying right now, I don't know, I don't do every head bow, every eye closed. But if you're saying, Pastor, I'm going through a trial right now, would you just pray for me? Would you stick your hand up? Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Yeah. I really felt real strongly for you two. Like from the moment I didn't see you, but from the moment you walked in, I just want to encourage you. God's not disappointed in you. And to everyone in the room, God's not disappointed in you. God was not disappointed in Joseph. He was not disappointed in David. He wasn't disappointed in Jesus. You know, by American standards, Jesus is a failure. But by biblical standards, He's the name above every name. And some of us just need to have that shame and disappointment rolled off of us today in the name of Jesus. And I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I pray that you would have the mother of all years. That starting on Mother's Day 19, this is your season for breakthrough. And that God is working mightily on your behalf. and He's pulling you through. And I declare, because His grace is on you, you can stand the pulling. You are not defeated. You're not going under. You're going over. I declare that over you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. 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 God.
Strong to for you. And some of it's what you already shared that I didn't know in your background, but then that just the whole time listening to you talking, et cetera, is that entrepreneurial spirit that is within you. Started when you were 13, business at 17, starting FDM 20 years ago, and now the new ministry and everything that you're going into is... just encourage you. It excites me, because an entrepreneur in business looks at problems different. They fill different niches. They solve different problems. They service differently. They manufacture stuff differently. They just look at things in a whole different light. And I encourage you, and I speak to you to take that entrepreneurial spirit that's in you and take Jesus and His love and His relationship and breathe new life into it everywhere you go, looking at things differently, and just excited. Because you take that entrepreneurial bent that you have, and you do that in the Christian walk and ministry and all the people you will touch globally. There's some cool stuff in store.
Amen. Thank you. I receive it.
Is this a good time?
All right, I just got a couple of things that God was sharing with me while Eddie was ministering. First of all, he said when Eddie got up to speak, God was like, Eddie has a song. And so God gave me some lyrics to start a new song based on what he was saying. And it says, through the fire is what it's called. And it says, into the furnace we've been thrown. Look around you, you're not alone. Your situation may be dire, but I will take you through the fire. Says, you are my child, do not fear, for in the flames I am here. Just push through, don't ever stop. The world says you'll burn. I say you will not. And so that's your song, brother. And in that, God also said, I'm expediting the destiny of everyone in this room, that God has called you to great things. God has called you to do specific tasks, whether you're an artist through drama, whether you're an artist through lyrics, whether you're an artist through music. Whatever your gift is, whatever God's given you to do, God says, today I'm expediting your destinies.
As we close, remember to give to Eddie's ministry as the Lord leads. He didn't say it, but you can go to the bottom. Well, I got it in a newsletter, so what I'm about to say, I guess it's on your website. He's looking for 300 people to support. Monthly support is the model that he's trying to do instead of living off of love offerings, which is what he's doing now. Is he's looking for 300 people to give $25 a month and 20 churches / businesses to give $100 a month, so that the Lord may put that on your heart, and I think he will, some of you here, to sow into his ministry as he is there's a part of us, Northwest Georgia, that's going with him as he goes around the world. If you need additional prayer today or you have a word for us, then there'll be a group of leaders in front of the drum booth up here, and we'll stay here and pray with you. If you want Eddie to pray with you, I don't know if he'll join us, or you just find him and get him to do it, however you want to do that. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray a blessing on every person here from the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.